Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Anthony Everett and Roddy Ashworth. Their new book is Nero, Matricide, Music, and Murder in Imperial Rome. Everything you've heard about Nero needs to be updated because the facts are far more bizarre and unpredictable. And a deal of that has to do with his mother, whom he murders when he's 22 years old. Let's go back to his breech birth in 37 AD. His father is named Anhinobarbus, meaning bronze beard. Agrippina will explore. Do we need to know anything about his father's personality, Anthony?
Yes, not really about his father. What we do need to know is about his grandfather, Germanicus, who was enormously popular with the population and in particular with the soldiery. So, and that was where the protection, if you like, that Agrippina always carried with her. The Praetorians and the soldiers were keen on the family.
I see. So it was Germanicus who was the popular figure, and that passed to Agrippina, his daughter. Exactly. Nero's born in 37 AD. It's a breech birth. There's a prophecy. Who knows, Anthony? Who knows whether these prophecies were written afterwards or before? But it's quite convincing. The prophecy is he'll be an emperor and he'll murder his mother. And his mother is said to have responded to the prophet, "If he's emperor, I don't care about the rest." Well, you will someday, but she's born in 15 AD. Her father is Germanicus. Her mother is also named Agrippina. But you emphasize that she didn't derive her fiery personality from her mother. She got it from Livia. What did she get?
Oh, Livia was the very wise, very astute wife of Augustus, the first emperor. She, Livia is one of my favorite characters in all history. She knew how to get her way without seeming to do so. And for a few years, when Agrippina was in her teens, she stayed at Livia's house. And she sat at Livia's feet, so to speak. She learned quite a lot from Livia. She learned, above all, about the virtue of patience, firmness and patience. Her mother was impatient and came to a grisly end. Agrippina was hoping that she wouldn't.
Yes, Agrippina's personality, we emphasize it here, it's forming in the 30s and in the 30s. And it's going to come to her taking charge of her own success. She wants to be the emperor. Was that unusual? Is she by herself as a woman who believes she can crash through the Roman ceremony and be princeps?
She couldn't, and she should have learned from Livia that you can have all the power you want provided you don't claim it. And Agrippina, looking at her mother's record, seemed to take Livia's advice. But in fact, she was too keen on having the trappings of power, sitting on a tall dais with her son and all the rest of it, than she ought to have been.
She has a brother named whom we call Caligula, Little Boots.
Little Boots.
Yes. Caligula has a reputation that is maybe deserved here in the 21st century. But the important detail here is Agrippina is his sister. There are two other sisters. What, Drusilla and I'm sorry, I don't know the other name. And Caligula is jealous of them, competitive with them, dismissive of them. How does he treat his sisters?
Well, the story goes he gets rather too close to them for comfort. But he brings them forward. He gives them unusual political privileges and so forth. They respond by plotting against him, it seems. Very odd story. Probably they saw that Caligula was unstable, mentally unstable, and they would be wise to distance themselves from him rather than be too much associated with what looked like a disastrous career.
Caligula is increasingly unpredictable, let's put it that way, in his brief reign, and he persecutes his own family. The way I saw him, Anthony, is he's almost a model for Nero. Did Nero know about his uncle?
Oh, yes, he will have done, as a dreadful warning.
The way he persecutes his family is that he exiles all of his sisters, and especially Agrippina, whom he puts on an island that is not uncomfortable, but is extremely boring. And she bears up on it, waiting for a better day. She survives, in other words. But again, that personality of hers is important, because we're about to take her to the future when she makes a play to be the empress. But a detail about her and her education: were Roman daughters and wives led to understand that they needed to be educated? The men all read the Greeks. To the women?
The women are not taught the Greeks. The women are taught how to run a household.
And so,
but they're clever women, like Livia and like the younger Agrippina. They will all have done some reading.
And Agrippina then is unusual as a Roman woman. This is not a model of a matriarch. This is a superior human being who intends, despite the fact that she's surrounded by family murder and violence and threats, she means to be emperor. Is that correct, Anthony, at this point in her life?
She means to be emperor through the emperor, through Nero. That's what she means to do. And she thinks she can get away with it. She's very good at compromise. She's very good at consultation. Whenever she's got a major policy development to announce, she spends some time talking to the relevant senators. I mean, she would have been brilliant in Congress, in Washington. I mean, she was a very good deal maker. However, even however good a deal maker she was, she was still a mother's daughter, and she tended to lose it in relation to Nero, her son. I mean, there's some claim that she wanted to have sex with her son as a way of keeping him under control. Not a very sort of plausible approach.
The murder of Tiberius, and it is a murder. He's dying slowly in Capri. He appears to be dead. He's not. Yes. And you report that Caligula, who is being congratulated as the new emperor, alone by himself goes and suffocates Tiberius. Who's the source on that? Is that Tacitus again?
That would be Tacitus, and it would be Suetonius.
And
it would be Dio, too. It would be Dio Cassius as well.
Do we trust it? Again, these things strike me as theater pieces sometimes.
Se non è vero, è ben trovato. If it's not true, it's well found.
And do the Roman people know of these things? Is it widespread to understand that Caligula just stepped past Tiberius?
I don't know. I don't know. I would think that there was a fair amount of gossip around the Palatine Hill. And in Nero's time, Nero was so candid about his crimes, in this extraordinary fashion, that everybody knew exactly what he was up to.
And Caligula eventually meets an unhappy end as well. He's assassinated by what appears to be a member of the army. Does Agrippina know about that plot? She's brought back from exile.
I don't think so. Caligula was very clever, but rather mad. After an illness he had, he seems not to have really a mental illness of some sort, meningitis or something of that kind, and he seems not to have recovered from it. And people were generally getting thoroughly upset by his antics.
The book is Nero, Matricide, Music, and Murder in Imperial Rome. Tiberius is dead, Caligula is dead, and Agrippina's in the field when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World with Anthony Everett and Roddy Ashworth. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.